Tonight was the go-home show to the Royal Rumble, finally, at last. The Rumble is here. I'm about ready for the Rumble. I don't think I could take another one of these shows, because they've done all they can do. Yeah, it's funny, coming out of Raw Monday night, I made the comment that after the Cody Rhodes CM Punk segment that closed the show, it actually got me more excited for the Rumble, and I like what they did there. Unfortunately, I can't really point to anything on this show tonight that got me any more excited for the Rumble than I was coming into it. It was one of those nights, but this was the go-home show, the final episode before the Royal Rumble, and we had Damian Priest in the main event tagging with LA Knight against the Bloodline, Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga representing Bloodline 2.0. And it's good to see Damian Priest get some new life here on Friday night, because, you know, he had done all that he could do on Mondays, especially, you know, with the Judgment Day. You had to get him as far away from them as possible. And so moving him over to a new show, fresh coat of paint, was the best possible thing they could do with him. And already he's in the main event, you know, and already he's out there and he's picking up his first, you know, big win here on SmackDown. And you already know I'm a big fan of Jacob Fatu. So the more we get of Jacob Fatu on these shows, I think that's a great thing. But they do this 50-50 shit sometimes, where they'll give one person the win, but then they'll immediately have the heel, let's say, you know, like tonight, it happened two different times, who loses in the match, immediately attack them to get their heat back. And, you know, it'd be one thing to do it once, but they did it twice tonight. They did it in the main event, and they did it earlier in the show with the women as well. So that was kind of annoying. And the match itself I thought was okay, but as the closing segment on this, your final episode of TV before your second biggest show of the year, because we've had some TV shows, Raw and SmackDown, in past years, and I'm not even saying it has to be, you know, the giant brawl or all 30 men are beating the hell out of each other and it's a melee. But we've had some pretty, you know, exciting closing segments to kind of like the closing argument before the Rumble. And for this to be their closing argument before one of the more star-studded Royal Rumble matches that they have had in years, that you basically put just a regular old tag team match out there with, and none of the names in the match, I'm not saying Damian Priest is not a star in this company or LA Knight is not a star. Damian Priest and LA Knight and even Jacob Fatu and these guys, they are not in the conversation as far as people who are going to walk out with a W in that men's Royal Rumble match tomorrow night. It's not going to happen. And so they decided to close the show with this instead of having a segment that really tapped into that star power and tapped into the most interesting part of the show tomorrow, which is who is going to win the men's Royal Rumble match. So the fact that they, you know, chose to go off the air with this, I was just left like sitting here going, this is it? Like, this is what you give us? The final shot, the final parting shot before this big Royal Rumble event, 65,000 people they're going to have in Lucas Oil Stadium tomorrow. A lot of big names in that Rumble match, and didn't see any of them here. There were a couple things I liked on the show, mainly the interaction that came at the very beginning with CM Punk and with Kevin Owens. That was right at the top of the show. It was a long show, too, because they're all 3 hours now. And so we had an interaction between Punk and Owens for the first time out in the ring since Punk came back to the company. Because I think before this, there had been a very brief backstage interaction between the two of them. So this is something that perked me up, and I said, oh, okay, this is interesting now, because this was an interaction I was not expecting on the show tonight. That was my favorite part of the show. At least they gave us Punk in the opening segment, right? He was the biggest name, and they kind of blew it off in the opening segment, and after that, it was all downhill from there, right? I mean, there's no John. We haven't seen John Cena since that first Raw on Netflix. This whole big story about him chasing after number 17. I have to win the Rumble. It's my last Rumble. You know, at least they aired a video package for him later in the show. It's like they remembered, oh yeah, John Cena's in the Rumble. But no John Cena, no Roman Reigns, another one we haven't seen since the Raw debut on Netflix. Again, no Cody on the show tonight. So virtually none of the major names that are in that Rumble that you would have expected. Outside of that opening segment, this was a pretty boring show. And as you could tell from other reviews that I've done this week, I am not shy to tell you when I think the show is fucking boring. And I'm sorry to say that was the case for a majority of this show tonight. Thankfully, it didn't ruin my excitement that I still have for the Rumble. I am looking forward to the Rumble tomorrow, but this show certainly did not do anything to get me any more excited, I can tell you that. But we're going to talk about it all here. This is your Friday night SmackDown review for January 31st, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster here with you tonight. The first hour of SmackDown tonight was commercial-free. Michael Cole, who normally does not do commentary on SmackDown, not anymore, but he was the one who opened the show tonight. He was at a small podium that was positioned kind of in the crowd, similar to the Okerlund, not to be confused with Okerland position that they use on Saturday night's main event. Cole introduced Pat McAfee. They were in Indianapolis. That's where the Rumble is tomorrow. That's where they were tonight. So, of course, Pat's a huge hero, and everybody loves Pat in Indianapolis, right? Well, maybe not everybody, but he's got a lot of fans in Indianapolis. So he introduced Pat McAfee, and he came out. And Cole said that Pat was the reason why the Royal Rumble is even in Indianapolis this weekend, which I think is true because he was really pushing hard for Indy to get a... I don't know if it was specifically the Rumble, but I know when they made that deal, you know, announcing that they were bringing the Rumble and WrestleMania and a bunch of other events to Indianapolis, he was, I guess, instrumental in that happening. So anyway, he talked about that. McAfee called Indianapolis the greatest host city on earth, said the city hosts Final Fours and national championships, and the people are the best in the world. I don't know. People in New York might have something to say about that, but I don't know. Anyway, they threw it to Joe Tessitore, who was in the ring. And they had the hook with both championships on. If you saw Saturday night's main event during the contract signing with Shawn Michaels and Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens, they hung the WWE title and the Winged Eagle belt on that giant hook. So the hook was hanging in the ring with the belts. And Tessitore, he played up the idea that, you know, he plays a big role in covering the superstars, so he wanted to give Kevin Owens fair time. And so he introduced Kevin Owens in the most anticlimactic way possible, by the way. He's like, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Owens. So Kevin Owens makes his way out to the ring. And Tessitore asks him, what is everybody missing about how you feel about Cody and how wronged you feel? Like, what is it that fans don't understand? And Owens called Tessitore a Cody Rhodes fanboy. And he lamented that everybody was talking about how they would face Cody at WrestleMania. Even CM Punk, right? Talked about that on Monday, and he mentioned CM Punk. But Owens said that he will win the championship at the Royal Rumble, and he will be the one going on to WrestleMania. So Tessitore said that, because Owens wanted him to apologize, and Tessitore said he's not going to apologize for interviewing Cody Rhodes on the show last week, which is what necessitated this whole thing, because he felt like, oh, you can get in the ring and interview Cody. Where's my interview? That's why he was interviewing him this week. So he wasn't going to apologize for interviewing Cody, but he said he would apologize if Owens felt that their coverage had fallen short of giving Owens a fair shake. Owens called Tessitore or asked him if he thinks that he's a tough guy. Tessitore says, no, I'm a 53-year-old broadcaster. Owens said that he doesn't accept his apology, and he told him that you can kiss my ass. So he said, I don't have anything to say. I'm here to take back the Winged Eagle, which he removed from the hook and put over his shoulder. Owens said that he would take the other belt on Saturday night. And he started to leave the ring, but he was stopped by the entrance music of one CM Punk. So this right here, I didn't know it at the time, but this turned out for me anyway to be the peak of the show. They peaked in the opening quarter hour of the show tonight. CM Punk joined Owens in the ring. Tessitore had disappeared. He was already back sitting at ringside. So the fans love Punk, and they treated this, just the two of them standing in the ring staring at each other, they treated this as a big deal. We even got a censored holy shit chant. Owens asked Punk, "Can I help you?" And Punk said no. Instead, he said he was there to offer two apologies. One, for interrupting him. He goes, I know how that feels. Seth does it to me all the time, and it's really annoying. But he said the other one was for Owens thinking that Punk was looking past him for WrestleMania. He said when he wins the Royal Rumble, and if Owens, like when I win the Royal Rumble, and if you win your match tomorrow night, then the main event of WrestleMania could very well end up being Kevin Owens defending the WWE Championship against CM Punk. And people cheered, because that's a match that a lot of people would like to see. I don't think anybody in the world expects it to actually happen at WrestleMania, but people cheered. So Punk said that if Owens wins at the Rumble, then Owens' title reign isn't going to last very long. Owens said he felt conflicted, because on the one hand, there are 29 other men in the Royal Rumble match that he likes more than Punk. And mind you, he doesn't even know who most of those 29 people are, because most of them haven't even been announced. But he can safely say he likes them more than he likes CM Punk. But at the same time, the thought of Punk against Owens in the main event of WrestleMania, or he corrected himself, the thought of him beating Punk's ass in the main event of WrestleMania, it appeals to him. So Owens played up the fact that all Punk wants to do is main event WrestleMania, and it's right at Punk's fingertips. It's right there. It's his for the taking. Owens pointed out that he himself has main evented multiple WrestleManias and said the idea of Punk never getting to main event one sounds so good to him. Spoken like the true best friend of the Young Bucks. So Owens said that he loves the thought of Punk never completing that dream. He stepped in a little bit closer to Punk and said that Punk will go to his grave as a miserable failure. And he ended by saying that he hopes Punk doesn't win the Royal Rumble. And then he dropped the mic and he went to go leave. But Punk wasn't done. Even as Owens left the ring, he was still standing on the apron. Punk had more to say. And so Punk said, speaking of things that I've never done before, said, I've never lost 5 title matches at the Royal Rumble, which is something that Kevin Owens has done. He said, I've never lost to Logan Paul, which is something that Kevin Owens has done. He said he never tried to manipulate his best friend to help him win a championship, but Owens has, because that's what he does. He takes shortcuts. Punk invited Owens back into the ring. He said that he would kick his ass. Owens teased getting back in the ring. Instead, though, he dropped down from the apron and walked off with the Winged Eagle belt, and everybody booed. Not as strong as the Punk and Cody segment that closed Raw on Monday night, but I love that we finally got these two face-to-face for a promo segment in the ring. When Punk first came back, and I, you know, there were a lot of questions I would get, emails and super chats and stuff, and we talked about all the different potential opponents for Punk and who would I like to see him work with. Kevin Owens was one of those people. And it's not that I don't think that the two of them wouldn't go out there and have a great match. I'm sure they could, but it wasn't even so much for the match. It was more for segments like this. Two masters of the mic. There are a lot of people who would get in the ring and, you know, against CM Punk or against the John Cena, right? There are just some people where when they're on their game, right, they will just turn you into mincemeat if you can't match them, right, line for line. And a lot of people can't. You know, a lot of people, they don't have the promo ability or the ability to connect with an audience on the mic in the way that a CM Punk has. Kevin Owens doesn't have that issue, though, because Kevin Owens, he absolutely can hold his own. And Kevin Owens has a quality that CM Punk has. It's a quality that makes everything he says sound genuine. He doesn't sound fake or forced when he's out there. It doesn't sound like he's reading lines, right? You can look at him and listen to him speak, And he's got like this everyman quality about him, but it sounds like Kevin Owens, like that's who he is. And Punk is very much the same way. So I feel like the two of them, and you saw some of it tonight, but I feel like the two of them would play off each other so well. And of course, it also doesn't hurt that Kevin Owens does not really think that highly of CM Punk. He's had his issues with him many, many years ago in Ring of Honor. I mean, Punk has issues with a lot of people, but, you know, Owens is somebody who has made it very clear he doesn't really like CM Punk. And so you can look at the look on his face as he's out there in the ring, and you can believe that the look on his face is reflective of how he may have really been feeling in that ring. Now, we don't know that, right? But just knowing that he probably doesn't really care much for this guy, right? He's a pro and he'll work with him, and I'm sure we'll get that match at some point. Yeah, I don't think he's not going to go to Triple H and go, I don't want to work with this guy. Especially not if he wants to, you know, make money. Of course he'll work with him. But you can also sit here and go, well, maybe he really, that look on his face may be a little more real than we think, right? Even just like wondering and thinking just adds something to that segment. So I have no expectation that we're getting this match at WrestleMania, not in the least. But I do have hope that we will get this match and a proper program between these two this year at some point. Because I think it has to happen. And between this segment and the closing segment with Cody on Monday, they've really gone hard, into the idea that CM Punk is the odds-on favorite to win this Royal Rumble. He's cut some strong promos, even the one with Jackie Redmond up in the crowd a few weeks ago when he tore into Hulk Hogan, right? He was cutting a promo on all the big names in the Rumble match. And then the segment with Cody, and now the segment with KO. You know, he right now is being positioned as the favorite. And of all those big names that are in the Rumble match and that are in the discussions for potential winners, you know, he's the one who's been appearing the most on TV. We haven't seen Roman Reigns. We haven't seen John Cena. If The Rock were to show up, right, where's he been? He hasn't been around. Punk's been there more than all of them. So how is he not the favorite, you know, going into the Rumble tomorrow night? And look, just because he's the favorite doesn't mean, well, then that must mean he's not winning. Cody Rhodes was the favorite, okay, going into the two Royal Rumbles that he won, and he did win them. So whether or not, you know, someone's the favorite and you think, well, if everyone thinks they're going to win, they may swerve us. Well, they could, but CM Punk is certainly one of the top three names that you would look at and go, you could plug him easily into either championship match at WrestleMania and it would work. Look what they did on Monday night. They got a lot of people amped up and excited to see Cody and Punk. But you could do Cody, or rather you could do Punk and Gunther, right? I could see that match as well. Or even a scenario where maybe they turn it into a three-way or something with Punk and Rollins and Gunther, right? But you could see either scenario is realistic. And the same thing with Roman and the same thing with Cena. So I like this. And unfortunately, there was nothing else on the show tonight that I would tell you I liked quite as much as I did this opening segment. They showed The Miz in the back. And he was venting to Nick Aldis about Andrade, who disrespected him in the back. It was either last week or 2 weeks ago. Miz said that he would punch him in the face if he was standing here right now. Not realizing that, of course, he was standing right behind. And then he did realize. He goes, he's right behind me, isn't he? And sure enough, he turned around and there was Andrade. So Andrade challenged Miz to a match. Miz told him anytime, anywhere. Aldis liked that idea, and he booked the match for later in the show. So we had Andrade and The Miz to look forward to in the third hour of this television program. Very good. They showed Jimmy Uso in the back. He was walking and cutting a promo as he was making his way through the backstage area. Shinsuke Nakamura was in the background lurking, like a stalker, watching as Jimmy was walking along, and he made his way out to the ring for his match against Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes comes out, and he's on the microphone, and he said that he wouldn't miss, because of course he says Melo don't miss. Melo misses every fucking week. Every week this guy's on TV, he misses. But he goes, all right, you know what? He's not going to miss, because his name isn't Tyrese Halliburton. And that got him some heat. Halliburton, of course, plays for the Indiana Pacers. And he was shown in the front row. He's a big wrestling fan. So, of course, insult the local sports team or the local sports star, and that's the easiest way to get heat on yourself. So that's what he did. Anyway, as far as the match goes, Jimmy went for a running hip attack. Melo moved out of the way. Jimmy came back with a pop-up Samoan drop for a two count. Jimmy got caught by Melo's first 48, but he kicked out at 2.5. And Melo went for a springboard move. Jimmy moved, though. Super kicked Melo for a good near fall of his own. Jimmy went to the top. He went for a splash. Melo got the knees up. Rolled up Jimmy for a two count. Melo went to the top, hit a splash of his own for a near fall. Then he went back to the top. Jimmy cut him off with a kick. And Jimmy went for something. Melo countered into a roll-up. Jimmy kicked out. He rolled Melo up, and it looked like he had a handful of tights. And Jimmy Uso picks up the win. After the shot that, you know, he took at Halliburton before the match, I thought it was setting up for a spot. You know, late in the match, he was going to go over. And I think he did go over to him at one point, but nothing happened. He just sort of said something to him. But I thought it was leading to something. I thought it was leading to something either after the match or like the closing spot, you know, for the match. And it never happened. Now, they did bring Halliburton out for a segment later in the show. I assume that's why. Yeah, they wanted to save him for whatever they were going to do with him later. But, yeah, the match ended. I'm like, oh, okay, well, he insulted the guy in the front row, and the guy didn't do anything, so, all right. But the match itself, very clunky in spots. These two, I don't think, gelled very well together. And it's yet another loss for Melo, and I think it's time to have a conversation about Carmelo Hayes. Because, you know, for a guy who goes around and he says that he don't miss, right? I am him. He is him. Melo don't miss. All he does is miss. This guy eats more L's than a guy who's just coming off of a hunger strike. This is what has happened ever since that best of seven series with Andrade. He loses far more often than he wins. And at some point, very soon, that has to change, because ultimately what will happen if this continues, you are going to be looked at, especially by people who may not have been familiar with him in NXT. You get a reputation, and people start to look at you a certain way as, all right, he's that guy who goes out there and he eats L's. He's that guy, he's that mid-card guy who goes out there, talks a big talk, and never really wins any big matches. The guy was the number one draft pick for SmackDown almost a year ago. So it's not even a case where it's like, well, he just got called up, and it's been a few months, and this is how they're building him up. Dude, it's been almost a fucking year. And this is still going on. So, yes, it's time that we have a conversation. It probably was time many weeks ago, but it's time we have a conversation about the state of this man. And what needs to be done to get him back to his winning ways and put him in a position to succeed and hopefully be looked at as somebody who can be a top star on this brand. Because the way things are going for him right now, I don't see how anybody who watches this show is going to look at Carmelo Hayes and think, hey, this guy's a star, man. This guy's a world champion in the waiting. It's just waiting to bust out. Something has to change very soon with this man. Maybe in the Royal Rumble tomorrow, he could be the Iron Man, right? There's always that one person. There's always that one guy who lasts the longest. They go 40 minutes, 50 minutes. That could be Carmelo Hayes. I think it should be him. At least it would be something. This week's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. The conference championship games are here. And as I am sitting here speaking right now, the Bills and the Chiefs, the Eagles and the Commanders are all gearing up to see who is going to Super Bowl 59 at the Superdome. Not Silverdome, brother. In New Orleans, the playoffs are not done yet, and you can get in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Right now, new DraftKings customers can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. And today is a great day to get in on all the fun because we've got the Buffalo Bills at 13-4 this season, taking on the 15-2 defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, who are looking to make history. No team in the history of the NFL has ever won three consecutive Super Bowls. And if Patrick Mahomes does the impossible, does that make him the GOAT over Tom Brady and his seven rings? See, I don't know about that. I heard Stephen A. Smith say that the other day. What I can tell you is that today's a great day to place your first bet. And right now, in the DraftKings Sportsbook app, I'm looking at the money line odds, and the Chiefs are favored at minus 125. With the Bills coming in at plus 105. In the other game between the Eagles and the Commanders, Philadelphia is the favorite at minus 285, with Washington coming in at plus 230. How do I think it's going to go? It doesn't matter what I think. All that matters is what you think. And who wins either game is not the only thing that you can place your bets on. You can bet on the odds for top touchdown scorer, the number of receptions, even the outcome of the first drive of the game. Just remember, lines and odds are subject to change. New DraftKings customers can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SOLOMONSTER. That's code SOLOMONSTER for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio.
We had Chelsea Green out there with Piper Niven in her corner against Meechan with B-Fab in her corner for the Women's United States Championship. Meechan hit a series of German suplexes. Chelsea went out to the floor where Meechan hit a dive through the ropes. Back inside, Meechan went for eat defeat. Green got away, though. Later on, Meechan set up the long back attack and hit a cannonball for a two count. The two of them traded pin attempts until Meechan landed eat defeat. Green rolled out to the floor. B-Fab rolled Chelsea back inside, but Chelsea escaped again. And Meechan chased after her. Green found Meechan's kendo stick and hit her with it, causing the disqualification. And after the match, Meechan got a hold of the stick and then worked over Chelsea with it. Crowd was quiet for most of this, and that finish means that they're dragging this feud out just a little bit longer. I am ready for Chelsea Green to move on from this. She won the United States Championship the middle of December. So that was the very first Saturday night's main event that they did. So now, here we are. We're heading into the month of February. Okay, before long, it's going to be 2 months. And she beat Meechan to win the title in the finals of that tournament. Since then, they have had two matches. So, and I think they've traded wins. So, I don't think they're exactly even. I think Chelsea has two wins, and maybe Meechan has one with the DQ tonight. I think that's where they're at. But whatever they're going to do next, I hope that they do the stipulation, because I'm sure it'll be a stipulation match of some kind. Maybe a kendo stick match. I don't know. It'll be a Russo special. It'll be kendo stick on a pole. First person to pull the stick down gets to use it. Whatever they do, I'm ready to move beyond this. You know, they move Zelina Vega from Raw to SmackDown. She hasn't even wrestled on SmackDown yet, so I'm not saying put her in a championship match, but she's somebody who I could see them, okay, feed her some wins, start to build her up a little bit. And she's the kind of person that this championship was designed for. You know, the women's Intercontinental and the women's U.S. title, you know, it was designed to help people like this and help elevate them and give them something to do when it's clear as day they're not going to be wrestling for the world championship. So like for Chelsea Green, you know, whether or not you like her character or you know, think she's more of a comedy character, you can't take her seriously, you know, it's giving her something to do. And by virtue of this program, it's given Meechan more TV time than she otherwise might get. But you got somebody like Zelina who just got called over there, and maybe, you know, or pick anybody else you want to. But we gotta get ready to move on from this. Byron Saxton, backstage, interviewed Bianca Belair and Naomi. And Saxton tried to stir up some shit between these two and asked what would happen if Naomi and Bianca end up as the final two in the Rumble match. So they both said that they would support each other no matter what. And either way, at the end of the Rumble match, they would point at the WrestleMania sign. And they all had a good laugh and a good giggle about this. So Saxton noted how Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez have their eyes on the women's tag team titles. We got another vignette for Charlotte Flair. And she narrated over it and talked about how great she is. Not all that different from the promo that aired on the show last week, but she's coming. She's coming. She's coming back. Less than 24 hours from now, in fact. Charlotte Flair returns. Get ready. It won't be long before we get our next Charlotte in the Bank cash in. According to WrestleVotes, it's coming sooner rather than later. Oh, joy. They showed Stephanie McMahon sitting in the crowd with a small child that definitely did not belong to her. Apparently, it was Nick Khan's son. And they plugged her new ESPN series that debuts in March, where she travels the country and she hangs out with various WWE stars, Steve Austin, Roman Reigns and the Bloodline, Charlotte Flair. She goes to where they are and goes on various adventures with them, I guess. I guess that's the basic premise of the show. It's called Stephanie's Places. Stephanie is back in WWE. She was on Pat McAfee's show, and she said that she had to take some time away. Yeah, gee, I wonder why. We all know why she took some time away. To get away from that decrepit old fool she calls a father. But now she's back. She's back in the family. So that'll be her new show debuting in March. We have the newest addition to the SmackDown roster. Damian Priest is out to the ring for a promo. He said he started on Raw 4 years ago, wanted his name to live forever. Talked about going from being a betrayer to being betrayed, and from being a follower to being a leader, and ultimately becoming a world heavyweight champion. Priest said that he's a SmackDown star now, and the goal is gold. Said that he would have to throw asses over the top rope during the Royal Rumble match to become world champion again at WrestleMania. He was interrupted by Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga, who got into the ring to join him. Fatu said that he sees Priest and he knows who he is and what he's done. He said Priest has accomplished so much more than the others in the back. He said they're a lot alike because they're both two men who got out of the gutter and came from the streets. The difference is that Fatu spent time in jail. I think he said in the box. We know what he meant. He said he's all gas and no brakes now. And if Priest thinks he's going to make a name for himself on SmackDown, that's not going to happen. Fatu said that Priest can lay down or they could beat his beat his ass down. And Fatu said that he and Tama Tonga are running SmackDown now. So Priest responded and said, that's it? He says, was that supposed to intimidate me? Priest told Fatu that he should know better because Fatu knows where he's from. Priest said Fatu is from the streets as well and asked why they were even talking at all. So he put Tama Tonga down with a kick and Fatu just looks down at Tama Tonga and then slowly looks back up at Damian Priest with a smile. So the two start circling each other. We get a holy shit chant from the crowd. Two of them start brawling. Tama Tonga gets back up. So it was two against one until LA Knight's music hits. He runs down to the ring with a chair, hits Jacob in the back with it, knocks him out of the ring. And Knight challenged Fatu and Tama Tonga to go up against himself and Damian Priest later in the show. I'm down for a singles program with Damian Priest and Jacob Fatu. I don't think that ends well for Damian Priest, but I'm down for it if that's what they're building towards. And this is one of the reasons, again, why I wanted Priest off of Raw. Either Priest or Balor. But if they were going to keep the Judgment Day on Mondays, then you had to get Priest off that show. He had done all there was to do. World heavyweight champion. Countless battles with all the different members of the Judgment Day. What was left for him to do on that show? The roster on Monday night did not change so radically that it's like, well, you know, the roster on Mondays looks so different now. He's got all these new opponents to work with. Not really. The show does not look radically different than it was before the transfer window. So getting him the hell away from them was the best thing they could have done with him. It's like I said before, it's like a fresh coat of paint. Now he's got a whole new roster of people to work with. Jacob Fatu could be right there at the top of the list, and I think that's perfectly fine. Also interesting from this segment, I thought I should point out, with Jacob Fatu making that comment about how me and Tama Tonga, we run SmackDown now. Very interesting. Leaving Solo Sikoa out of that conversation. And so what is that going to look like when Solo Sikoa ultimately comes back? I don't think we'll see Solo Sikoa in the Royal Rumble tomorrow, but we might. You know, do they want to work a spot in there where, you know, Solo and Jacob are both in there and Solo wants Jacob to eliminate himself just as a show of loyalty? I mean, I don't know why he would. You would think he'd want Jacob in there to help him dump other people out. But, like, I was thinking about whether or not they work some sort of loyalty spot like that into the Rumble. I'm not sure Solo's even going to be in the Rumble tomorrow. But when he eventually does resurface, that'll be interesting. You know, in light of these comments and Jacob coming out of his shell, this is my show. We run this show now. You got to imagine that Solo's not going to be too fond of the way that he's speaking. Because I'm still looking ahead to WrestleMania thinking, okay, what does Jacob Fatu do? Yeah, I mean, you can do him against Roman Reigns. I'd love to see it. It doesn't feel like they're building to that, though. I think the WrestleMania match is Jacob Fatu against Solo Sikoa. We go from I love you, Solo, to I hate you, Solo. And they go one-on-one. That's the way things seem to be trending for him as far as WrestleMania goes. Now backstage, the Motor City Machine Guns, they approached Santos Escobar, Electra Lopez, Angel, and Humberto. Chris Sabin said that he knows Legado doesn't really care for them, and they're not too fond of them either. But we got a big eight-man tag team match tonight, and we're on the same side. So Escobar said the Guns have their shot at gold at the Rumble, whereas he has to win the Rumble to get a shot at the World Championship. Escobar said that they're still fighting for what they deserve, and Shelley said that they would have their backs tonight, and Berto said that they know how to handle their own business. And Angel said, look, if you guys win those tag team titles tomorrow at the Royal Rumble, we are coming after you. And that led into the eight-man tag. It was the Motor City Machine Guns and Los Garza taking on DIY, and pretty deadly. Elton Prince was working over Chris Sabin after a commercial break. Kit Wilson tagged in, and Sabin hit a double clothesline on both members of Pretty Deadly. Sabin reached for the hot tag to Alex Shelley, and the fans seemed to be into it until Angel Garza stole the tag. And I can't even call it a hot tag. It was more like a dead tag. Because, like, as soon as he stole the tag, like, the crowd just died. But they did come alive when he got in, and maybe like a minute later, he did the spot where he rips his pants off. So the fans cheered, right? Mostly the ladies. The ladies cheered for that. So Gargano tagged himself in. things broke down. All eight men were hitting big moves. There was a big moonsault from Angel out to the floor onto Pretty Deadly. Saban tagged himself in, but Angel stopped Saban from entering the ring. So, uh-oh. Looks like they're not able to coexist, which was the whole story coming into this match. Can they coexist? The answer is no, they can't. So Los Garza starts yelling at Saban. They leave ringside. They're backing away. And they're leaving the Motor City Machine Guns to fend for themselves. Ciampa, though, accidentally boots Elton John off the... Or Elton... Elton Prince. He boots Elton Prince. That would have been more entertaining. Off the apron. Kit Wilson didn't like this. He drops down from the apron to go check on his partner. Meanwhile, Saban then rolls up Ciampa, and he picks up the win for the Machine Guns. So we got the expected drama between the Machine Guns and Los Garza, and the Guns getting a pre-Rumble win here on this show pretty much tells you, I think, how the 2 out of 3 falls match at the Rumble is going to go tomorrow, which I'm okay with, because when I did my predictions the other week, I picked DIY to retain. And there was certainly nothing done any differently on this show that would make me change my mind on that. So, fine with me. In the back, we had Jacob Fatu. You like that, huh? Elton John taking bumps now? Tony Khan's not going to like this very much, right? He just brought Elton John back for Collision, for the intro on Saturday nights, and now he's taking bumps on SmackDown. So he's not going to like this very much. It's like the Costco guys, that picture that went viral earlier today of them posing with the WWE Championship belt. Tony's not going to be happy. Anyway, Fatu and Tama Tonga, they were shown walking backstage when Tama looked over and he spotted the tag team titles. They were laying on top of one of those road cases, the equipment cases. And he walks over to them and he's staring at them like he's about to pick them up. DIY comes over and they quickly grab the belts. And Tama Tonga did his weird little mating call. And then DIY walked away. So before I go on here, they have established that the Bloodline, or at least Tama Tonga, want the tag team titles back. And I hope they don't get them back, because I honestly just don't see any need for that. They win the belts back and then what? You know, like, Jacob Fatu is clearly on the ascent. He doesn't need those tag team titles, right? I have no idea when Tonga Loa is going to be back. I mean, I'll ask Tonga Loa superfan. I'm sure he'll give me the medical update. But Tonga Loa is out for a few more months, right? I don't think he's going to be back before Mania. So it's Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu right now. There's no point in them going after the tag team titles right now, besides the fact they already had them. Right, they can be involved in other bigger things than the tag team titles. But I just think it would be counterproductive to the entire tag team division, because while I would not call what they're doing with the tag teams right now terribly exciting, at least they're doing something and trying to craft stories around them and around the titles with DIY and with the Machine Guns and the Street Profits and Pretty Deadly and Legato, right? You've got all of these teams, and the one common denominator is they're all going after the tag titles. It doesn't benefit them if the Bloodline gets the belts back and effectively holds them hostage. So I don't know what that was a tease for. I really don't. I assume it was put into the show for a reason, but I just really hope that they don't get their hands back on those belts. So DIY looked over, and they spotted Pretty Deadly. And Ciampa wanted to know, what the hell was that out there? So Gargano said, you know, the tag team title match at the Royal Rumble, it's the biggest match of our lives, right? They want to make sure that Pretty Deadly is still, you know, on their side, and they're going to be there for them if they need them tomorrow. Elton Prince told Gargano and Ciampa, tomorrow night, you guys are on your own. And they left. So not only did they lose tonight, the tag team champions lost, but now they lost their cheat code for tomorrow in Pretty Deadly. So they have completely stacked the odds against the champions going into this 2 out of 3 falls match. All the more reason to to not expect the title change in this match tomorrow night. Honestly, though, if you think about it, it probably would be the biggest match in the history of their careers for Ciampa and Gargano. When have they ever performed in front of a crowd as big as the one that they are going to be performing in front of tomorrow? Right? They were in that ladder match at WrestleMania last year, weren't they? And I still don't think they had as many people each night of WrestleMania last year as they are going to have for the Rumble this year. I mean, they're already over 65,000 at Lucas Oil for the Royal Rumble. This is going to be easily the biggest Royal Rumble crowd that they've ever had. But that's going to be bigger than some WrestleMania crowds, you know, because some of these stadiums, they'll get like upper 50s, 56, 57, 58,000. So this legitimately is going to be the biggest match of their career. And the same thing for the Machine Guns. I mean, when have they performed in front of a crowd this big? Never. And they've been around for a long time. So legitimately, it is going to be the biggest match in their careers. We go back to Michael Cole and Pat McAfee at their little podium in the crowd. And McAfee introduces Tyrese Halliburton, who joined them, and Halliburton said that he was excited to have the Rumble in his town. McAfee noted that the Pacers are playing the Hawks tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Royal Rumble starts at 6 Eastern. And he wondered if we would see Halliburton at the Rumble. Halliburton said that, well, the plan is to beat the Hawks and then show up at Lucas Oil. And that was it. That's all he did on the show. Then they aired footage of Michael Cole and Cody Rhodes crowd surfing at the Royal Rumble kickoff event earlier today. Yes, that is a real thing that happened. Cole's lucky these people didn't pick his pockets as they were body surfing him. So they aired a video package for the Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens feud to build to the ladder match at the Royal Rumble tomorrow. This was set to Even If It Kills Me by Papa Roach. That was like me before I did the stream on Wednesday and before I came on here tonight. I said, I'm going to do these streams, Even If It Kills Me. Actually, as far as song choices go, that was pretty good. They should have used that song for the Royal Rumble. Like, that should be the official Royal Rumble song. I know it's not a new song, but it's better than the one they went with. We had Naomi one-on-one with Liv Morgan. Not a lot of heat for this. Even when Naomi did her move where, how do I even describe this? So Naomi does this thing where she sort of springboards up, like she's in the corner and she springboards up and her opponent's face is just buried in her ass. And she begins to shake her ass, right? She did that move to Liv Morgan. Didn't get the reaction you would expect it to get. So, again, not a lot of heat here for this, at least not in the early going. Later on, Naomi hit a rear view and went for the split leg and moonsault. Raquel was out there in Liv's corner. She distracted Naomi. Morgan and Naomi, they traded pin attempts, and Naomi got the better of it, rolled Liv up for the win. After the match, Raquel attacked Bianca and Naomi, and Liv told her to stack them. So she did. And then Raquel powerbombed Liv onto both women. So look at what they did here, okay? They finally give Naomi a singles win. This was her first singles win on television since October. Naomi's had a lot of losses, okay, not just to Nia Jax. She's lost a lot of matches. I mean, she's a tag team champion right now, and she didn't even win the titles. She's a sub for somebody who got injured, okay? So it's been tough times for Naomi. But then after she wins this match here, which should be a big moment for her, they immediately negate it with the post-match beatdown. Because Liv and Raquel immediately come in and beat the crap out of these two women and leave them laying. Which renders this match here of little consequence. Because what does it really matter? I mean, I know what they're building towards. Obviously, they're building towards a tag team title match. But it's like, even when this woman wins, she still loses. But this right here, this was the definition of just 50-50. You know, like, all right, we'll give Naomi the win, but then we'll just lay her out when the match is over. It's like, okay, great. What did you really accomplish here? I do think that Liv and Raquel are probably getting those titles, but only when we get Jade Cargill back. Could be tomorrow. But whenever we get Jade back and we take that next step in that story, that will lead to those titles leaving Bianca and Naomi and going to whoever they're going to go to. And Liv and Raquel makes sense. Especially Liv lost her world championship. She needs something to do. She's not going after the Intercontinental title right now. I think she might eventually. But the tag team title's on Liv and Raquel. Why not? But again, only when Jade comes back, I don't see them dropping those belts. It's not like they're going to have a tag team title match and they're just going to lose them, you know, and that's going to be, it's just going to be like any other match. That drama has to play out first before we see those titles go anywhere. And I'm still in the camp that says Naomi. I know people were saying Bayley, people think it's Bianca. I'm still sticking with Naomi as the culprit in all this. Joe Tessitore and Wade Barrett were at their desk speaking, and they set up a video package that recapped the Jacob Fatu Braun Strowman match from Saturday night's main event. We had The Miz against Andrade. And this is, again, I'm sitting here and I'm like, it's hour number three. And I'm watching The Miz against Andrade. Why is this show 3 hours? Especially the go-home show. That's the thing. Like, these three-hour SmackDowns are tough, okay? They're not good. But what makes it worse is when you have a go-home show. So you know you're not going to get any major developments, and it's really just one big advertisement for the PLE the next day. And now you're stretching out a two-hour commercial, basically, for the Rumble into three. And it's like, ugh. Like, it's even worse. So now it's hour three, and I'm like, all right, let's see what we got here. And honestly, the match they had, it wasn't a bad match. But I'm sorry, when you have an otherwise boring SmackDown, and you get to hour number three, it's 10:15 or whatever it was, and I'm watching The Miz against Andrade, this is not a winner. I'm sorry. So Miz landed a flying head scissors early on, and the crowd cheered. Action spilled outside. Andrade followed with a springboard moonsault onto Miz on the floor. Show went to a commercial break. Come back from the break. Miz was in control. Why? Who cares? Andrade booted Miz in the face. Miz came back with a tilt-a-whirl DDT for a near fall. Miz went to the top. Andrade cut him off. And with the two of them on top, Andrade pulled him off with a Spanish fly. Got a near fall out of it. And chants of "This is awesome" rang out through the crowd. You know, I am convinced that today's WWE audience, if someone took an 18-inch shit, like in the back, and they're so proud of it, they took a picture. Like Jim Ross has told that story, that Brian Pillman once, like, he took the longest shit that you've ever seen. He was so proud of it. He took a picture of it and he sent it to Jim Ross, who I'm sure was just thrilled as can be when he saw this. But I'm convinced that if you did that and you threw that up on the screen, it would get chance of "This is awesome." Like, that's how low the bar has been dropped. Andrade missed the moonsault attempt. Two of them traded roll-up attempts before Andrade caught Miz with his spinning back elbow, and that was enough to get him the win. And I like that, because that spinning back elbow that he does, and he's been doing it since, you know, he was, I don't know if he was really doing that much. I guess maybe he was when he was in WWE the first time. I only really noticed it as an effective finisher, even though he really wasn't using it as a finisher all the time in AEW, but like, it looks devastating. It sounds great. It looks devastating. I wish he would use that as his finish. Forget the message. You know, whatever that double underhook thing is that he does.
Samoa bro.
Like, I feel like this should be his finish. Yeah, I stand corrected. Holy shit, Chance would actually be more appropriate for the example I just gave. I don't know how I didn't realize that. But I still think they would chant, "This is awesome." But anyway, so yeah, I would love it if he starts using this a little more often as a finish. I've said the same thing about Sami Zayn and the Blue Thunderbomb, you know, which he used as a finish a few weeks ago, but then he went right back to the Huluva kick. So, but I can't help but look at how Andrade and Carmelo Hayes are being used right now. And this goes to what I was saying about Hayes earlier in the review. You look at where they are now, and they are no better off than they were before they engaged in that best of seven series. Look where they are now. Look where they were then, and look where they are now. And tell me that that series benefited them in any meaningful way. It should have, at least one of them, and it didn't. Because when that thing was over, LA Knight beat them both. And so LA Knight went on. I can't even say what they have LA Knight doing is any great shakes, but you know, at least he's off doing some stuff with the Bloodline, and he was in the main event tonight. But you know, Andrade and Melo are just spinning their wheels. You know, Melo gets more airtime than Andrade does. But as far as where you would expect them to be, I don't see how anybody who's really a fan of theirs could be happy about that. And if you're being honest with yourself, because if this was anybody else, any other promoter, any other booker, booking these people in this way on this show, the hellstorm that would be rained down upon them. I know some people don't want to do it because it's, you know, Triple H and he can do no wrong, but you and I know that's bullshit. You know, I called out the Vinci stuff last week because nobody's thinking about that poor guy these days. I had to bring him up. I had so many people like, dude, I even forgot he was still employed. There are a lot of flaws that you could point to in the booking of various people on this show. Carmelo and Andrade should be at least in a better position now than they were 5 months ago. And they're not. And that's just an indictment on the booking. It's as simple as that. Now, I don't know. Charlotte is coming back tomorrow. I don't know if they would want to pair Charlotte with Andrade because she is so much of a bigger star than he is. She just is. That I don't see how it would benefit her. It legitimately, the only person it would really benefit is him. It doesn't really do anything to help her. So I don't really think that's something that they would want to do unless she wanted to work with him. But let's assume that's not going to happen. Zelina Vega just got moved back to SmackDown. I would love to see Zelina and Andrade put back together. I just thought they made for such a great combo in NXT. And I think they were still together when they initially got called up during those pandemic shows. I don't even remember at this point. But they were just such a good combo and they played off each other so well in NXT. I would love to see a reunion here on this show. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all heard about Cody Rhodes finishing his story in 2024, to the point where even I was sick of it, and I was happy once it was finally over. But that was his story, and that was last year. Have you thought about what you want your story to be in 2025? If not, what are you waiting for? Life isn't about New Year's resolutions that you're going to forget about before January's even over. It's about picking up that pen and becoming the author of your own story. And you can think of therapy as your co-author, helping you write new chapters to craft the story that you deserve. You've heard me talk about this before, and I say it every time. The benefits of therapy are limitless. Whatever experiences that you've had in your life, you can be sure that there are other people out there that have gone through something similar, or maybe going through something similar right now. You are not alone. But it can help teach you positive coping skills and how to set boundaries in your life, how to cope with trauma. I think there are people who think that that's all therapy is for. It's just to help people work through some sort of major trauma in their life. It certainly can, but that's far from the only thing it can help you with. It can help you become the best possible version of you. And who doesn't want that? Why do you think therapy exists in the first place? Because there's something in your life right now that you need help with. And it's a big first step to admit that. But once you do, it can be such a liberating feeling. If you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's completely online, making therapy affordable and convenient, or maybe you don't have the financial resources to visit a therapist in person, or you think you don't have the time to fit it into your schedule. Now you can, and you'll be joining the more than 5 million people worldwide that are being served by BetterHelp right now. You'll also have access to a network of more than 30,000 credentialed therapists with a wide range of specialties, and you can easily switch therapists at any time at no extra cost. Write your story with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. In the back, Santos Escobar finds Damian Priest. And he says that he should give Legato a call. And Priest says that we're not friends. And Escobar says that they'll be seeing each other very soon. So this felt like a video game cutscene. So he walks off. And then Priest looks over and says, "Oh, not you." And the camera pans over and it's R-Truth. I don't even know what brand he's on anymore. I don't even know. Is he on SmackDown? Maybe he floats. He's the elder statesman. He can go where he wants. I don't know. So I don't even know if Truth is officially on SmackDown or not. They made it seem like he is. Maybe he is. But there he was. And he thought that it was Raw. He was convinced that this is Raw. He said he just talked with a British Adam Pearce who has hair. So LA Knight shows up. And he just wants to know that Priest is ready for their main event tonight. Tomorrow, though, it's going to be another story. And that Priest told him, "Look, I'm going to throw your ass out of the Royal Rumble. It comes down to you and me." So tonight, though, they're going to handle Fatu and Tama Tonga. Now, in the background, you can see Shinsuke Nakamura off in the distance stalking. This is his new gimmick now. Remember Barry Windham back in 96? He was the stalker. Shinsuke Nakamura now is the stalker. He doesn't wrestle as much. He just goes around stalking people. Elsewhere in the back, Tiffany Stratton walks, and as she's walking, she bumps into Zelina Vega. Vega, of course, is brand new to SmackDown. She just got moved over from Raw. Says that she's going to be aiming for Tiffany's title, and Tiffany wishes her good luck with that, very sarcastically. And that took us into a commercial break. So when we come back, Pat McAfee and Michael Cole are in the ring, and Cole introduces Tiffany Stratton, and out comes the women's champion. And Cole wants to know how her life has changed since she became the women's champion. Tiffany said that now everybody knows that she is championship material. McAfee said that everybody wants what she has, and he listed off various wrestlers who might win the Royal Rumble, including Nia Jax. And Tiffany said it doesn't matter who wins because it will always be Tiffy time. As she's speaking, Candice LeRae's music plays and she walks out. And Candice says that Tiffany betrayed Nia and she betrayed her as well. The crowd started the what treatment as she stepped into the ring to continue her promo. She called Tiffany jealous and Candice told Tiffany to enjoy what little bit of Tiffy time you have left because she has officially entered the Royal Rumble. Less than whatever is less than no reaction, that's what she got when she announced that she was in the Rumble. So Tiffany backed her into a corner. Nia tried to attack from behind. You could see Candice say to her, "Move." So she moved. Nia squashed Candice by accident in the corner, but she made a comeback and hit a leg drop, and then the Annihilator on Tiffany to stand tall. Boy, Nia's getting a lot of FaceTime on these shows. Nia's popping up on basically every single show these days. And she'll be at the Rumble tomorrow as well. So this segment, it just kept the issue alive between Stratton and Nia Jax. Again, nobody in their right mind thinks that Candice LeRae has a shot at anything. But the whole segment was designed to get Nia in there, and she ends up standing tall. They close the show with Damian Priest and LA Knight taking on Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga. Knight and Priest, they jump-started the match. They took control. Priest tagged in a little bit later on. He was working over Fatu until Tama Tonga distracted Damian, and Fatu capitalized with a hip attack. Knight tagged in, went after Fatu, including a top rope elbow. But then Fatu took over, which took us into the final commercial break. Fatu went for a hip attack on Knight. Knight moved, and Knight back suplexed Fatu. He got the hot tag to Damian Priest, who came in and cleaned house. Priest sent Tonga flying over the announce desk and then planted Fatu on top of the desk. Back inside, Priest walked the top rope, Undertaker style, and came off with a crossbody for a near fall. So Priest sets up for a razor's edge, and Tama Tonga counters out of it into a sleeper hold. Priest got out of that. Meanwhile, on the outside, LA Knight, he charges and he tackles Jacob Fatu, not through the barricade, but over the barricade, and they both tumble over into the timekeeper's area. And Knight actually stumbled at first. He kind of tripped a little bit when he initially started to charge, which only made him go faster. So thankfully he didn't kill himself. But I did kind of get a chuckle at that. In the ring, a clothesline from Damian Priest turned Tama Tonga inside out, and Priest then hit South of Heaven for the win. His first big win on SmackDown in the main event here for Damian Priest. But after the match was over, Jacob Fatu immediately hits the ring, wipes him out with a kick, and then he gives him the pop-up Samoan drop, quickly hits the moonsault because the credits had already began rolling. And it wasn't even just the executive producer credits. They had, what was the brand they had? Some kind of hard cider was the sponsor on the mat tonight. So they had they have this boilerplate, like fine print they have to run on the bottom, drink responsibly and all that shit. So they're running all that shit on the screen. But Fatu got his moonsault in, and he was the one standing tall as the show went off the air. The match itself was fine. Honestly, it's standard tag team fare. You're not going to remember a fucking thing about this match in a week. It was a match. And it's a good spot for Damian Priest to be in. Being in the main event, given that he is so new to the show, they're going to have to rely on him as one of the anchors, really, of this show going forward. But again, given the star power that we have in this Rumble match tomorrow, I think it was a mistake not going with some kind of a segment, like an in-ring promo segment. We had an in-ring promo segment on Monday, and it was great, right? If you have an in-ring promo segment that's strong, I got no issue with it. It doesn't have to be a match if you have something engaging, if you have something great that you can end the show with. Like, what a great way to end the show. Let's have at least some of those big names that are populating the Royal Rumble match, the men's Rumble match tomorrow, that we really haven't seen. We know they're in town because they're going to be on the fucking pay-per-view tomorrow. But let's get some of them on TV. Let's get some of them interacting with each other and get people hyped up. Oh, shit. Like, they're about to throw down. I can't wait to see these guys go at it tomorrow, right? You don't even have to have, like, a giant pull-apart. I mean, you could, but something tied into that. So this is not the way that I would have ended the final show before the Rumble. I thought that was disappointing. And the show on the whole, it was what it was. It was mostly boring. You know, the opening segment was the best part of the entire show. I am all for a CM Punk Kevin Owens match. I hope we get it at some point. It ain't going to be at WrestleMania, but I do hope we get it. And Damian Priest, again, great spot for him to be in. But this was just one of those SmackDowns where it's like, you know what? I'm looking at the clock and I can't wait for it to be over. And part of it also is just that, again, I'm all tapped out on these shows hyping up the Rumble. Like, I'm ready for the Rumble already. Like, there's nothing else they can do to get me any more excited for the Rumble. So let's get to it. That's kind of my attitude. It's kind of like sometimes going into WrestleMania where they've done all they can do, and you've got like one or two shows left, and it's like, what's left for them to do? You know, we've had every pull apart, every contract signing, every promo, everything's been said. You know, you just get to that point where it's like it's filler. It's just like you got TV time to fill, but there's nothing left to do. And that was kind of the case tonight. I thought pretty boring on the whole. As far as the Royal Rumble, my picks are CM Punk and Bianca Belair. Those are my Rumble picks. What are yours? Let me know, because I'm going to go through your chats here in a second. But first, let's take a look at the Twitter poll. What did you think of SmackDown before the Rumble? 76% thumbs up, 24% thumbs down. Yeah, I don't think so. Well, that's one poll I disagree with. We will have to agree to disagree. So that was not a 76% thumbs up show. See, yeah, again, with a go-home show, I look at it and I say, and I kind of looked at Raw this way because it was the final Raw, right? It wasn't technically the go-home, but if it leaves me more excited than I was going into it for the PLE that weekend, for me, right? For me, I am but one fan, then it was a success. Monday did that for me. Friday did not. Take a look at your super chats. Hey, Super Pony wants to know, Punk and Kevin Owens at SummerSlam. I'm down for it. Although, if they're not doing Punk and Roman at WrestleMania, Punk and Roman is the much bigger match for SummerSlam. So, if you have a choice between the two, you got to do Punk and Roman. You know, but again, they may do Punk and Roman before then. They may do Punk and Roman at Mania. I don't know. But Punk and Kevin Owens is not a bigger match than Punk and Roman Reigns. So, Chris AXC had some super chats he sent in earlier. Predictions for Jacob Fatu tomorrow and for Mania. Oh, I think Fatu, I think, is going to go on an elimination spree. I think. And I think for WrestleMania, like I said, I'm leaning Jacob Fatu against Solo Sikoa. That's what I'm thinking. How much longer do you think Bret Hart would have stuck around had it not been for the injury, and what do those final years look like? He would have stuck around for a while. He would have ended up back in WWE. I think we would have gotten another WrestleMania match with him and Shawn Michaels. I think that could have been the 2006 WrestleMania match if he was healthy. Instead of Shawn and Vince, we get Shawn and Bret. And probably, it's hard to say, but I think he would have stuck around until, like, you know, I could see Bret hanging it up shortly before Shawn did. So Shawn went until 2010. I could see Bret like around that time period, like 2008, you know, 2009, something like that, maybe having a retirement match. I could see that. Nick, what are we doing with Melo? Like, it feels like I'm seeing a self-fulfilling prophecy play out. They'll job him out week after week, then blame him when he gets no reaction. That's what you got to be worried about. You know, you slot somebody at a certain level, you end up like Dolph Ziggler. I don't want to see him get Zigglered. The real CS, Melo's phrase is, he don't miss. Well, he's been missing a hell of a lot lately with him constantly losing. His booking makes me forget he was a first round draft pick last year. Yeah, you would never know. Unless, you know, without him gloating about it, you would never know. Real CS, he talks a big game but can't back it up. Triple H is fumbling him so far. Boots, Solomonster, in El Barrio, when you call someone a pendejo and put some stank on it, you know shit's going down. Yes, Damian Priest at one point during his promo did refer to Jacob Fatu as a pendejo. Holiday 197. If Cena wins his 17th world title at WrestleMania, he's not going to. But if he does, what are your thoughts on Jacob Fatu squashing Cena for the belt at SummerSlam in domineering fashion? This would elevate Jacob as a monster and a main eventer. I don't want to see it because it's just now you're just copying off what they did at SummerSlam with Brock Lesnar. That's literally what you'd be doing. Like, right down to Cena being the guy getting squashed. And I think in his retirement year, nobody's going to want to see that. I don't think that's the way they want his story, his championship story to end. So, while it would be great for Fatu, there are other ways that you could elevate Jacob Fatu without doing a rehash of what you already did once before. Jerome Eugenio, who are your favorite 1 and 2 entrants to start the Royal Rumble? Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker in Madison Square Garden 2008. They ended the Rumble the previous year and they opened the Rumble the following year. The Irate Observer. Now it's Faisal. Faisal here. Based on the promos tonight, and with Nakamura lurking in the background, looks like the men's chamber may be for the U.S. title. Nakamura, Priest, Jimmy, LA Knight, Melo, and Jacob Fatu. I could see that. Shin Superkick Akuma. Oh, I haven't heard from Shin in a while. He goes, what's up, Solo? I'm still here, still around every stream, every show. You guys kill it in the chat every stream, every week. That Goldberg super chat is hilarious stuff. Well, it definitely gets a laugh out of me, so. All right, now we're caught up to the current ones. There's Super Pony. Thank you, brother. Rarely even. I'm awkward and hopeless and desperate for love. Ladies, he's a keeper. Barry MK. The new Legacy Inc. Royal Rumble Sim stream has shown us Cody will win the Rumble after having a war with a bald abyss. A bald abyss? Interesting. Joseph Stewart says, sad news to share. John Irwin, the original voice of He-Man, Prince Adam, and Beastman, has passed away at the age of 88. Rest in peace, John Irwin. Thank you for bringing He-Man to life. Yep, I was a big He-Man fan when I was a kid. He-Man was the shit. So, I'm sorry to hear that. 88, though, man. We should all be so lucky. Know a lot of people who don't make it anywhere close to 88. Ricky Cornflakes. Love the John Cena... the John Cena hat. Now, this is what happens when you feel like complete shit and just didn't want to get out of bed all day. You're just like, fuck it. I'm going to wear a hat. I'm just throwing the hat on. I look like Peacekeeper? Who the hell's that? Who's Peacekeeper? You mean Peacemaker? Who's Peacekeeper? Project Libertad. Did you see Cody read that sign saying Christine Chandler loves Bard? Cody is now part of the CWC verse, and I am so happy about it. I'm going to pretend like I understand what that means, and I'm going to say thank you, Project Libertad. Fire Panda. Fire Panda says, word life. This is basic solonomics. See, the only thing I'm missing is the chain with the master lock around my neck. I didn't want to wear it, though, because it would weigh me down. But Fire Panda, thank you for the $48 super chat. It's very kind of you. Thank you, Fire Panda. Base Beerus says, word life. Chain gang. Maybe he'll get Thugonomic Cena tomorrow. And he says, I am also congested and nasally. Well, I'm congested, but it's more my throat. My throat is killing me right now. My throat is absolutely on fire. Holiday 197. Thoughts on John Cena facing a debuting rookie for his last match. It would be a nice full circle moment. It would pay homage to Cena's own debut against Kurt Angle. It would also help elevate the rookie. It really depends who it is. I mean, it would have to be somebody that they view as like the future of the company. And I don't know who that person would be if they haven't already debuted. I mean, I guess it could be somebody from NXT, but, you know, Oba Femi or someone like that. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Me personally, I'd rather see him matched up with somebody else, but if they went that route, you don't want to waste that spot on just anybody. So it would have to be somebody special. That's why I said Oba. Oba may be on the main roster, you know, long before then. But Oba's not a rookie, though. Like, that's what I mean. Like, if you called up somebody from NXT, they're not really a rookie. So, like, what rookie would there even be? You know, I mean, who knows? I mean, there's an entire year to go. Maybe it's somebody that none of us are even aware of. Maybe it's somebody they haven't even recruited yet. But that's a dangerous thing, though, because you never know how those prospects are going to turn out. Joseph Stewart, do you see this happening? John Cena wins the Royal Rumble. Wins the WWE title at WrestleMania. Dominic Mysterio wins Money in the Bank. And Dom cashes in on Cena winning the title. Do you think Dom should be the one to beat Cena for the title? No. And that's not going to happen. George, what does a nut say when it sneezes? Cashew. Very good. Very good. Well, if that's the case, then I guess I've busted my share of nuts today. Ragnarok, TGIF solo, was at SmackDown and will be at my first Rumble tomorrow. That's very cool. I've been to a few Rumbles myself. They're always fun. P.S. I love Jacob, but they need to stop having Tama eat pins every week. Give him some shine. Thank you, brother. Dan Richards, celebrating 20 months of channel membership. Remember when you used to ask, how would these shoes be without the blood? You mean shows. I was very confused when I read this initially. That's what it says. Look, it's right there on the screen. How would these shoes be without the bloodline? Unfortunately, we are getting our answer, and it's not positive. Well, what you're getting is them basically going back to basics and trying to build up a roster that can support this show when the bloodline isn't around. That's why they moved Damian Priest. Jacob Fatu now is, I mean, technically he's part of the bloodline stuff, but, you know, they're going to have to build up new names to carry the show. Because Roman ain't going to be there. That's for damn sure. And the bloodline, honestly, the bloodline stuff, it jumped the shark a long time ago. So, you're right. This is what happens. is what happens when you rely on one act for far too long, and you haven't done a good enough job of building up enough people on that show. And then the show expands and goes from 2 hours to 3 hours, even if it's only for a few months. That's what you're seeing right now. Super Pony. Does Randy cost KO and does Sammy get involved? I tend to think he does. And Sammy is not going to help Kevin Owens. Whether he comes out or not, he might, but he's not going to help him. And then I think Owens is going to eliminate Sammy from the Rumble. JDF VA, celebrating 10 or 12 months of channel membership. Speaking of pointing, where is the WrestleMania sign to point at? Damn, you know, I forgot about that. Well, we're not there yet anyway, because that doesn't start until after the Rumble. But yeah, I had forgotten about that. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have one. We'll see. We'll see. But it's not time for the sign yet anyway. So. Rarely even. If they want to make a star right away, and they're serious about this new era, Jordynne Grace should win the Rumble and throw out Charlotte last. I agree. That would be tremendous. And you know what? She would get a huge pop if she did. Fans would love that. The Juliet. Thoughts on Brock Lesnar being officially named in the Janelle Grant lawsuit? Yeah, I mean, we knew he was named without being named a year ago, and now the amended lawsuit has been filed. This is why I laugh. People like, is Brock going to be in the Rumble? Or is Brock going to be back for Mania? Like, dude. No. Until any of this stuff is resolved, the answer is no. Now you can forget about it. Not that there was any chance of it before, but now you can kiss that goodbye. Now he has been formally named. Slim Yoshi, what do you consider the top five Rumble matches in WWE? I feel like the men's 2025 match could be top five potential. Also, don't count out Orton winning. Yeah, I mean, I guess you can't totally count it out, but yeah, I'm not expecting that. And again, I don't like doing these top fives, top tens, like on the spot. I've talked about what I think of the best Rumble matches already. I mean, I've talked about it a lot this week. You want to see a great Rumble? Go watch 1990. I was laying in bed dying last night. And what time is it? It was 4:05. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up and I felt like total shit and I couldn't go back to bed. So I brought up the Vault channel on YouTube and they uploaded the entire 1990 Royal Rumble match. That's a great fucking Rumble. And a lot of big names in there too. So you want to watch a great Rumble match? 1990 is a great Royal Rumble match. But 1990, 92, 2005, 2001, and 2020. Those are all good ones that you should go check out. Nick Rosso, what are your thoughts on the episode list for Dark Side of the Ring Season 6? I'm going to talk about that on the podcast on Sunday. If you remember, though, a lot of the suggestions, or I say a lot, but some of the suggestions I made that I've made in the past, they did go with some of them, and a lot of the ones that were rumored a few weeks or a few months ago by Greg Oliver at Slam Wrestling, really all of them except Test turned out to be accurate. So, it wasn't a total surprise. And there's one episode in particular, and I'll let you figure out which one it is, that I think is going to be the hardest to watch. If you look at the list, I think you know what it is. Nick says, what do you think about them pulling a Bret Hart and Steve Austin from 97 with Punk eliminating Rollins? The referees don't see it, so Rollins comes back in and throws Punk out. So then Rollins wins the Rumble? That works if the idea is to have Rollins. See, but that doesn't work, though. I was going to say, if Rollins beats Gunther sometime before Mania, like at the Chamber, and wins the title, Punk could then challenge Rollins for the title at WrestleMania. But if Rollins wins the Rumble, he gets the WrestleMania main event. So what are we doing then? Like, is Punk going to just be added to make it a three-way? Punk and Rollins and Gunther? It's like, eh. See, I don't like that. I'm not really a fan of that idea. It would kind of feel like Gunther is just tacked on, like when they did the Saturday Night's Main Event match, where it was Gunther, Priest, and Balor. I wouldn't do that as a WrestleMania match. I think anything Punk is going to be doing should probably just be, you know, one-on-one. Michael. Thank you, Michael. Who do you think will be in the final four in the Men's Rumble tomorrow? Probably Punk, Roman. I'm going to say Punk, Roman, Rollins, and McIntyre. King Chris, channel member for 22 months. What about Punk against Owens, night one, for the Winged Eagle? Kevin's ego. Now, I'm sorry to say the Winged Eagle is going away after this weekend, so enjoy it for the next 24 hours, because that's the last we're probably going to be seeing of it. What about Cena? Cena gets eliminated by Logan Paul. There he is, Tonga Loa Superfan. I gotta say I'm impressed with how tight-lipped WWE is with the Royal Rumble. There has been zero mention of Tonga Loa returning, or let alone winning, the Royal Rumble. Gonna make that moment oh so much more special. You know, Tonga Loa Superfan, you're starting to sound like a Bliss fan, where if Alexa Bliss doesn't show up in the Royal Rumble, I'm gonna be concerned for his mental health. I don't want to be worried about you if you're expecting a Tonga Loa win tomorrow. The Juliet says, looks like 03 Cena and sounds like Meltzer. Do I sound like Meltzer? No, see, I don't say like and you know enough times. Looks like 03 Cena and sounds like Meltzer. Jeez. Gee, thanks. Appreciate it. And Daniel Malcolm, celebrating 19 months of channel membership. Solo looking like a YN tonight. Okay. Thank you, Daniel. Rarely even. Coming in with a 5. If they're serious about this new era, you have Jordynne Grace win the Rumble and throw out Charlotte last. You make a superstar right away. Yeah, well, yeah, we talked about that. I'd love that idea. Like I said, I am predicting a Bianca win. I can't sit here and tell you I feel 100% great about that. But if Jordynne Grace were to be in the Rumble and win, like, shit. Strap the rocket to her and you want to make a star on night number one officially in the company? But the thing is, like, the match to do at Mania is Rhea and Jordynne Grace. So I don't have any interest in Jordynne Grace and Tiffany Stratton. It's got to be Rhea and Jordynne Grace. Or just don't do it at all. That's got to be the match. Did we just hit 400? I think we did. We just hit 400. Or be the Booker. That's awesome. Thank you, guys. And again, I apologize. I just, I'm not at my best right now. But Royal Rumble season is like one of the busiest times of year. And I kind of feel like if I'm not speaking and doing these shows, like I have a podcast on Sunday, that my voice will be even worse. Although I don't think I'm making it any better, honestly, by doing all this talking, but I'm doing my best here. I want to hopefully be my best for tomorrow. But yeah, usually I sound very different. So thank you for bearing with me tonight. I appreciate it. Rarely Even says, what if Penta is the Rumble's Iron Man? I don't think he will be, but I think that would be great. You know, I want him to go in there and have a strong performance. That doesn't mean he has to go 50 minutes, but you know, if he goes in there and lasts, you know, a good amount of time, even 20 or 30 minutes, and he eliminates a few people, maybe he eliminates Bron Breakker. They were teasing something between them on Raw Monday night. That could be a WrestleMania match. As long as they keep him looking strong. They believe me. One thing I'm not worried about right now is whether or not they see him as a star to put their machine behind. Because well, they had their town hall the other day at their headquarters. Two people that Nick Khan in particular singled out and talked about at this big staff meeting were Penta and Jordan Grace. He actually announced that Jordan Grace had signed with them. So, you know, spoiler, she signed with them. But when he mentioned Penta, they even showed what's called a sizzle reel of highlights of his matches so far. He hasn't had that many, but they even showed like a highlight reel for him. Like, they obviously know what they have in him. They seem to know what they have in him. And so I'm confident that he's going to end up in a pretty damn good position. And I could not be happier for him. So he deserves it because he's got superstar written all over him. Thankfully, it seems like they recognize that also. Let's be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
This is your pre-Royal Rumble edition of Be the Booker. That's right, Fire Panda. Nick Khan is a mark for Penta. He's a Penta mark. All right, here we go. We begin Tag Team Be the Booker. We have Randy Orton and Edge. Rated RKO. Former Raw Tag Team Champions. And they will be taking on the Rhodes Brothers. Cody Rhodes and Goldust. Also, former Raw Tag Team Champions. As you can see here from this graphic. Cody on one side, Randy on the other. There you go. See, it's meant to be at some point. It's meant to be. All right, women's Be the Booker. We begin with Rhea Bloody Ripley, the women's world champion. There she is. No match this weekend, but she'll be watching that women's rumble very closely. Because I predict whoever wins the women's rumble is going after her. Unless Charlotte Flair wins, then we're all fucked. Rhea Ripley, again, oh my god, yes, now we're talking, now we're cooking with oil, yes we are, Rhea Ripley against Jamie Hayter, there's a WrestleMania match, maybe one day. I'm going to give that two bells. I'm giving that two bells. That's what I'm doing. Maddie, control yourself, Maddie. Look at this. These drooling emojis in the chat. Take a cold shower, Maddie. Yes, pre-injury, Jamie Hayter. All right, main event time. In the main event, we have main event Jey Uso, who just lost again to Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship Also a possibility in the men's rumble. Don't count him out. I'm just saying. Main event, Jey Uso, which means get ready for the 12-minute entrance. The entrance may be longer than this match, depending on who he's in the ring with. Jey Uso against Tommaso Ciampa. It was going to take a major name for me to bell that. It's not even so much a knock on Ciampa. Although, again, I'm trying to book a main event here. And, I mean, Ciampa is not booked as a main eventer right now. It's just, it's hard to... You cannot honestly sit there and tell me that you look at this as the main event. You can't. You can't. Be a good match. I'm looking for something a little bit bigger. That's what I'm looking for. Now, maybe we'll do this. Maybe we'll do this. Why don't we turn it... I'm making an executive decision here, okay? And we're going to turn this into a triple threat match, okay? Everybody's losing their minds here in the chat. Let's see who gets added to this, and maybe I'll have a different opinion. All right, maybe. There you go. Brett the Hitman Hart, you got your bell. And we got our clean sweep. You had to know that was coming. I mean, come on. Now it's a main event. Now it is a main event. Bret Hart, Tommaso Ciampa, and Jey Uso. There you go. Ciampa, yeah, Ciampa and Bret. Damn. Clean sweep, baby. Just as the wrestling gods intended. What if we get Punk and Owens at the Chamber for Punk's spot at Mania? Yeah, but why would... That doesn't even make any sense, though. Like, on what planet would we be able to make sense out of CM Punk after years and years of chasing a WrestleMania main event? And after what happened to him with the injury in last year's Rumble, he finally wins the Royal Rumble, but then agrees to put his WrestleMania spot on the line against Kevin Owens? Like, that would take a major logic leap. I don't even think that I would be able to accept that. It's been a very dark and dreary few days here. I have not been well. I am still not well. I'm hoping I'm a little bit better tomorrow, and we'll have a great Rumble review. I'm going to go have some hot tea. The Rumble review, just so you know, is going to be live immediately after the Royal Rumble PLE, which starts at 6. So don't forget, it's an earlier start time than usual. So it could be over by 9, 9:30-ish. So figure I'll be live on YouTube probably 9:30, between 9:30 and 10, probably sometime around then. And we will talk the good, the bad, and the ugly from the 2025 Royal Rumble. Be well, unlike me. Stay safe. And I'll see you in less than 24 hours for the Royal Rumble post-show right here live on YouTube. Until then, take care, guys.